Well, about a month ago now, some of the houses along our street experienced a power cut. I remember there was particularly bad weather that evening. The rain was falling heavily and the wind was unusually strong. I was at a meeting that evening when I got a phone call to come home. The power was off and there was water coming in the kitchen ceiling. And when I got home, that's what I found. I found the lights didn't work, the TV didn't work, the internet hub didn't work. Nothing electrical worked in our house that evening, except for the candles flickering around the house. Our home was in darkness. And usually when you're faced with something like that, you instinctively reach out for some source of light, whether it's a candle or a torch, or maybe it's the light on your phone. I was interested to see what these singers were going to use tonight to see the lyrics on their hymn sheets. I think they did fairly well. But people generally don't like to sit in darkness. I don't like preaching in darkness. This is very weird looking out and hardly seeing your faces. We don't like to sit in the blackness of darkness. We feel uncomfortable. We feel exposed and vulnerable. We don't like being there because we don't know what's in the darkness with us. Or like in our house, you don't know when who's going to jump out on you in the darkness and try and frighten you. But we prefer to see in the dark. We prefer a light to show us where we are and what lies ahead for us. When you look at darkness in the Bible, as you would probably guess, darkness always has a sort of a negative connotation. It's usually always associated with something bad or evil, something negative. Whereas light, or walking in the light, being in the light, is always good, always positive and right. If you think of how things were in the beginning, Genesis 1 verse 2, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good. Even there at the very beginning, you see this contrast there between darkness and light, between darkness inferred as bad, light as good. Come a bit further, you think of the Israelites when they were leaving Egypt in their Exodus. And that sounded great. It was great for them to finally get out of slavery. But then the Egyptians decided they want them back as their slaves. And you read in Exodus 14, the angel of God who had been traveling in front of Israel's army withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other. So neither went near the other all night long. Do you see that continued symbolism of darkness and of light? Almost a contrast, a competition between the two. You see that symbolism carried on into the New Testament. For example, in what Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 12. There he is standing before a very religious crowd who are listening to everything he says, and he makes this great proclamation. He says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You see, we live in a dark world, a world that is eclipsed by a long shadow of sin. When sin entered our world, humanity became spiritually blind, and therefore spiritually lost, and therefore confused. Confused as to our understanding of God, as to who He is, as to who we are, and why we are here at all. And so in this blindness, in this lostness, We have become, as Isaiah describes, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. When you look through the Bible at certain words like dark and darkness, when you look at the concordance and you bring together various verses, it's a bleak picture of what our humanity is like without Christ. For example, the Bible describes the unconverted as Proverbs 2 verse 13, those who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways. And therefore, chapter 4 verse 19, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. And so Isaiah writes, they say that evil is good and good is evil. They say that dark is light and light is dark. You see the confusion there. Romans 1 verse 21 tells us they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 4:18, he says, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. And so the wise preacher of Ecclesiastes 2 verse 14 writes, the fool walks in the darkness. And then finally, the Lord Jesus tells us in John 12, those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they are going. That's our world. That is this world in which we live, into which Jesus Christ came and proclaimed, I am the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it, John writes. The one who is the true light, the Lord Jesus, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. For the last 3 weeks, we as a church have been looking at the nativity story, and we have noticed this great paradox that this is Christ the King of the Jews, the Christ, the Messiah, not born in a royal palace, not surrounded by princes and kings, but instead born into poverty and laid in a manger in Bethlehem. This Christ, this misunderstood King, this unrecognized Savior of the world, who came into our world of darkness to seek and to save the lost. The Bible tells us Jesus came in love for us. And out of his great love for us, he came to bring us back to God again. He came to show us the way back to God. In fact, he himself is the way back to God. God sent his Son to us from heaven to die for us on that cross. For Jesus himself to suffer and to pay the cost for all our sin, for all our rebellion against God, for all that separates us from God. Jesus suffered for all the ways that you and I will express our darkness. Jesus died for that. He died for our pride, our greed, our idolatry, or adultery, our blasphemy, our lust, our bad language. The list could go on and on and on. But everything that would bar us from heaven, Jesus came and died for, so that we could be reconciled to God again. So it's into this world of war, into this world of struggle, that Jesus came as a light, as a great bright beacon of hope and reconciliation. I don't know if you noticed them, but Earlier this year in September, there were beams of light shining up into the night skies over Newcastle. Did you see them? There were 7 spotlights or beacons or whatever they're called, but they every evening for a month, they shone their light up into the sky as a sort of symbolic welcome to the international students, to those who were returning to study in Newcastle or who were coming for the first time to study. I don't know why they were there to begin with. I thought we had started a war again. But there they were every night, shining out across Newcastle, sending out a message. And I discovered what the message was. This was meant as a sign to the students that wherever they would be in the city, however they may be feeling, maybe being so far away from home, they might feel lonely. They might feel isolated. But wherever they would be, they would see those beams of light and they would remember the message that light was to them. A message of welcome. A message of being remembered by others. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is God's message of hope to this dark world. He says, I am the light of the world. And especially to those who by faith will look to him. To those who will admit their own darkness and their own need of him in their life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, whoever follows him. There's that all-encompassing whoever. Whoever will follow this light of the world, he says. Whoever trusts in him with all their heart, they will never walk in darkness again. What does that mean? It means they'll no longer remain blind. They'll no longer remain unconverted. They'll no longer be in this spiritual darkness that enshrouds the unbeliever. But they will know what they are and where they are now headed because of Jesus. That person will have the light of life. They will have Christ with them every day of their life, and for this life and for all of eternity. They will have Jesus as their friend and Jesus as their Savior. And they will experience this new life that he promises to all who believe. This newly awakened spiritual life and a real experiential eternal life. Jesus promises so much, and he delivers on everything he promises to whoever will believe. So can I encourage you this Christmas to come out of your darkness, to come out of your blindness, to come out of your lostness, and to come to Christ and discover him as the light of your world, and in him find life. Let's pray.